From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the fourth day of March. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. We'll hear from the press conference that took place on this campus this morning that announced some $680 million of funding towards IFAB. We'll tell you what that means and how it will enhance bioprocessing across a line from Champaign to Decatur and some of the partners as well, along with the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. And then as we wrap up our time together today, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at $4.30, up 5 1/4. July at $4.41 1/4, 5 higher. And December 3 3/4 higher at $4.63. May soybeans $11.55, 3 3/4 higher. July at $11.65 1/4, up 4. And new crop November 6 1/2 higher at $11.46 1/4. Bean meal futures at $3.33.50. $1.20 higher. The bean oil at $46.17, up 1 cent for the day. Soft red winter wheat at $5.64, that's up 6 1/4 for the afternoon. And the hard red at $5.80 1/4, up 15 3/4, both of those in the May contract. Live cattle futures finished the nearby at $186.67 1/2, down $1.77 1/2. Feeders at $255.75, down $2.25. And lean hogs today, $86.27 1/2, $1.80 lower. Crude oil at $78.63 a barrel, $1.34 lower. The diesel fuel or heating oil down 6 8/10 cents, at $2.63 6/10. And gasoline per gallon at $2.57 7/10 on the RBOB. That's the wholesale price, down 3 6/10 cents for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 39,020. Down 122 points in the S&P 500, down 2.5 at 51.43. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net in Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace and maybe a few things that will take place tomorrow at the All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost remains $40 for the day. We sure do look forward to having you there tomorrow, Kurt, and all the folks that have already signed up. More than 200 will be in the room. Should be a great day, I suppose.
Yeah, always looking forward to the March Beef House meeting. It kind of caps off the winter meeting circuit. Man, there's just a ton of good people there. Not only analysts sharing some great ideas, but also getting updated with everyone that we've not seen for a year. So A lot of info tomorrow. Hopefully we can all come home with something to bite on and to watch as we go through the new crop marketing here.
I know Wayne Nelson will be there again tomorrow. Usually, as of the recent last 2 months, we've been hoping for a turnaround Tuesday for his day on the air. I don't think we'll want that tomorrow. We'd like some follow-through from today. It was a good day in Chicago, not as good as some of the trade during the day. What happened, actually?
Yeah, tomorrow, historically noted that we've had some started trends into trends, so it'll be interesting what happens after tomorrow. It's been a benchmark on the calendar for sure. But we came in the overnight trade with really some optimism. Feels like when you go back over history here, prior to the last few days, it felt like August 31st as we end the marketing year and start the new marketing year. From the standpoint, guys needed to decide whether to move the cash or pay another in charge. And once we had the March options off, March futures off, basis rolled, end of the month and everything, maybe we're in a position here where we've had enough for now. But coming in today, there's a little bit of optimism that as we look forward here towards the end of the week, we'll have the monthly supply-demand report. There's ideas that that South American crop can slowly be ratcheted down. If you go back a year ago, the Argentine crop, the Argentine producers, Argentine analysts, you know, said it was bad, but it took a while for the numbers to get to where they were as they went through harvest and had a little bit more handle on. So ideas are that that South American crop could be another notch lower. That's pretty well known. Some analysts are way too low, down to 135 million metric tons. Ideas we could probably see it, you know, another 4 million metric tons shaved off. Then two, just a little bit of uncertainty about the second crop of corn going in. It's real critical for them to have some favorable weather here as we move forward. Also, too, just a little bit of a bleep, nothing big. Did see a sale of 110,000 tons of corn to Taiwan, and also 126,000 tons of meal cake. A little bit of that was old crop, but it was forwarded out to the new crop in proportion. Need to see that continue, these sales as we move through the marketing year. Export inspections were fair. We shipped out over a million metric tons of corn, kind of in the middle of the range. Soybean shipments about the same. Then wheat shipments kind of down to the lower end of trade expectations. So still a ways to go here as we move through the marketing year. The marketing year ends of August, so there's a lot of time here to see some additional sales and to get it shipped out. The concern continues to be export side of the equation, losing market share. When you look at market share compared to the other countries around the world, that continues to be kind of the thorn in the side here as we move forward, Todd.
Is this for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, the sore thumb is, or the one that stands out the most is the soybeans. Seems China or Asia particularly has been shopping in the southern hemisphere. That harvest is scooting right along. Brazil's estimated to be about 50% complete with harvest. Mato Grosso's about 85% complete. Yields continue to come in a little bit low for them than what they expected. But that's where the boats are headed. That's where the boats are. That's where most of things are. If we see some demand comes back this way, it'd be a situation where they need a little bit of needs to get them through the marketing year. But the South American crop, you know, is pretty well getting dialed in. And now it's just a logistics matter on how fast that crop gets out of there.
USDA historically in the United States or other parts of the world is cautious when it moves the size of a crop. It has been so far as it's related to the Brazilian crop in South America. There is, I suppose, an option for it to increase the size of crops like that from Argentina, soybeans that is. However, I have made note in the last week that there are some analyst and other places that have been upping the size of their South American forecast from the lower forecast they had. What's the possibility, do you suppose, that the trade will be disappointed in anything less from USDA than the expectation? I think you told me that was 4 million metric tons in drop, which would seem like a fairly large drop if that were to come out on Friday.
Well, being an optimistic or wanting the market to go up, or being disappointed, pretty well in the cards, I would think, from the most part, always trying to get some optimism going. But yeah, the question is how much of adjustment. If you take away from Brazil, would you add to Argentina and Paraguay? So it's a balancing act. But when you sit back and look at the big picture here, we're getting fairly well dialed in, and we're not going to run out of crop. The main part of the weather's pretty well passed now. We're looking forward to the second corn crop on what happens there. You know, who knows? I've not seen the trade estimates out. I think they'll be out here this afternoon. We'll see where the cards fall. But once we see these numbers, we're quickly going to shift the attention toward the end of the month, March 28th, Planting Intentions Report. I believe here the first 2 weeks of March, they'll be taking these surveys. But probably the other part of the equation will be the grain stocks report. The reason being is we still have a lot of grain to be sold. I was in Houston here this past week at the Commodity Classic, and just about everyone we visited with had the concern about additional grain to be sold to get caught up and so forth. And on the stocks report, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they might have underestimated some of the production. Yields might have been a little bit better in some areas. So we've got two big events towards the end of the month once we get past this Friday here, Todd.
Hey, thank you much. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I bet you'll have a good tale to tell for us during the corn panel at the end of the day.
You bet. Looking forward to it. Take care.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. He'll join us on stage at the All Day Ag Outlook tomorrow. You can be in the building, too. Walk-ins are welcome. $40 at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. This morning, the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, along with many others, gathered at the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois to announce a $680 million funding push towards a $70 million grant from the United States government. As you'll hear, it will enhance bioprocessing of things like corn and soybeans and other products from agriculture in the area, and also drive the economic commerce from this part of the world. I asked the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Herman Bolero, about the IBRL.
Let's begin with IBRL, the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab here on campus, established some time ago. What does this building do?
Well, this building does what we do well in this university, which is the connection in between the bench to industry, right? So there is processes and things that we do in the labs that are scale up in terms of fermentation instead of biomanufacturing, to get them ready to the next phase and then to go to industry and to serve the public.
Today, we're here to talk about $680 million in what, for lack of better terms, from my perspective at this point, would be matching funds to a potential United States government funding project. This is a lot of money and could be a big boost for a corridor from Champaign to Decatur related to bioprocessing, biofuels, other kinds of things that are made from both corn and soybeans.
That's right. This is the reason is so large is because there are a lot of partners, University of Illinois, private sector, ADM, and you know, Central Illinois is a perfect place to do this because we got the raw material to do it, corn and soybean. And you know, the future is biomanufacturing, the industry that will transform carbon chains from corn and soybean into things that we'll use in the future, like organic acids, all kinds of different things, industrial products that, you know, will attract that industry to Central Illinois.
What's the importance of the university within this process?
Now, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's a perfect question to ask us, because that's what we do really well, is first of all the science that all of this is based on, and the second one is the workforce development, right? Working with community college too, because Richland is part of and Parkland are partners in this tech hub. But what we do is train through this IBRL and our programs the workforce that will be hired by this industry in the future.
That was Herman Bolero. He's the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Also with us today at IBRL is its Executive Director, Vijay Singh. Thank you, Vijay, for taking some quick time, a few moments with us. We talked about IFAB just a little bit, about the grant just a little bit, and the Dean called it the bench from which things come to be developed into larger processes. You've been the executive director. You've been here since the inception of IBRL. Can you tell me about some of the successes that have taken place and the expectations when you have a grant and extra funding of this size?
Well, first of all, we are very excited to actualize the IFAB, the Illinois Fermentation and Agriculture Biomanufacturing Tech Hub. It has the huge potential to build very robust supply chains to decarbonize our economy, to help with food security, produce sustainable aviation fuels, and multiple consumer and industrial products. So some of the projects that we've been working on that have been amazingly successful is that we were very recently able to reduce the cost of one of the 12 priority chemicals to a point so low that it can become commercially viable. We are working on another very exciting project of producing food from air. This is a DERPA project, and we have amazing success with that.
That was Vijay Singh. Of course, he is the executive director for IBRL here on campus. Greg Webb now joins us. He was at the press conference held at IBRL earlier today, and he's a vice president at ADM. Thank you so much. I want to talk about this corridor and the importance of IFAB across the Champaign to Decatur area. The importance, to begin with, is the university and ADM, largely a lot of it. This grant put together, $680 million up against 70, should bring some attention to it in Washington, D.C., but I just want to talk about the importance of processing to ADM and what that means to corn and soybean farmers, producers in the Midwest.
Well, we are at the epicenter, as was said in the press conference today, about being able to produce, and that's because we have some of the most productive land in the world. And companies like ADM and Premiant are present especially in the Macon County area, in a very large, world-class, world-scale way. And working with higher ed, not only higher ed for the University of Illinois, but facilities like this Integrated Bioprocessing Research Laboratory are the innovative engines that help propel what farmers to produce into more innovative, entrepreneurial products that we dream about but are becoming more of a reality. So when we talked about the ag tech corridor earlier, we've known our geography is pretty good here in terms of proximity and what we have in terms of capability, but this tech hub will help define that in a way that I think will bring visibility to a lot more people to say, wow, did you know?
You're looking at this not only as a way for the development of products in the future, whatever that scope is, whatever the science may find, whatever it may be directed to do, but also as a way to bring more businesses to this part of the world.
Undoubtedly, that is absolutely the goal, because we have in the research park here, we have a lot of entrepreneurs. Some, they have an ability to pilot what the ideas and innovations are, but we didn't have a demonstration scale capability in this area, so many would have to leave the area and might come back in a commercial scale if they needed to. But what the idea of the Tech Hub is to just be the vertical ladder to bring idea to pilot to demonstration, and then presuming that all works out, to a commercial scale, and have them locate here in Central Illinois with those businesses.
Does ADM have a goal for when there might be a product, a pilot that could come out of this particular relationship?
Well, it would be premature to say that the Tech Hub has done that just yet, but we already have evidence about clustering of businesses around this capability. As I mentioned earlier, Innova Feed, which is a soldier fly larvae producer of animal protein, is locating here partly because of sustainability, and some of the things that the agriculture system in this region of the world is doing. So we believe that there will be far more companies who are going to find that attraction and say, I need to be there.
Greg Webb is with ADM. He was on hand this morning at the press conference announcing some $680 million of partnership funding towards IBRL, the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Lab, and a bioprocessing corridor from Champaign to Decatur. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Everstream Analytics. Happy Monday to you, Mark.
Hi there, Todd. Happy Monday.
Let's begin with the happy Monday news that, gosh, we're in the 70s today across my part of the world. It's been really mild. The numbers have been great, and I think they stay, well,
not too bad, although it's been kind of crazy weather in the United States as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. What we're seeing right now today or yesterday here across the Midwest, talking about temperatures that are more than 30 degrees warmer than average for early March, and a lot of records being set. And looking ahead here, temperatures are still going to remain generally warmer than normal over the next couple of weeks. There's no sign of any kind of, you know, reversion back to cold or anything that extreme from a cold weather standpoint here coming up, but rather it looks like this mild pattern will continue, albeit not as anomalous as what we're seeing right now. It'll be a little more muted here coming up for the, well, starting tomorrow and then for the remainder of this week into next week.
Once we get past that, what does the end of March, early April look like in your opinion?
Right now, it's looking like basically more of the same. We're not seeing any big surges of warmth coming back in at month's end. But then at the same time, also no sign of any turn to unusually cold weather for any extended periods of time either.
Any historical context for this kind of start to the year? For instance, many will say, well, that means we're going to be in the field early. Also, it's dry out west, so bad summer, those kinds of things.
Yeah, too early to tell right now. I know there's been lots of chatter that this year is somewhat similar to 2012. 2012 also was a very warm winter and also had a very warm March as well. While that is a similar situation, there are differences such as like ocean temperatures. That year was also transitioning, actually La Nina towards El Nino later in the year. This year is actually the opposite. It looks like we're going to transition to a La Nina event coming up. So still to be decided here coming up, but definitely an interesting end of winter so far.
What's of note in South America at this time?
Yeah, right now in the Brazil Safrinha Corn Belt, where planting continues, they are going to see significant rainfall coming up over the next couple of weeks. In fact, the outlook has trended even wetter, especially for Mato Grosso in the northern part of their Safrinha Corn Belt. So it's a soil moisture improving situation there over the next few weeks. And then down in Argentina, rain activity will continue to register normal or even above normal across the vast majority of the belt. And along with seasonal temperatures, that's going to continue to provide favorable weather and favorable yield prospects here coming up.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
Likewise, Todd. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll kick off our meeting at the Beef House at 7:30 a.m. That's when the doors open, Central Time. 8:30 if you're in the Eastern time zone. Walk-ins are welcome, of course, and you can come on by anytime during the day. The cost is $40, and that includes the Beef House lunch at the noon hour. We have a great day planned for you, and we'll be able to take some of that and use it on the radio maybe later in the week, and certainly coming up over time as well. We thank all of those who pre-registered for the program. The All Day Ag Outlook is in its 34th year at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You, of course, have been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.